RTI podcast as we get set for Tennessee to head to Omaha, which they will be doing today on Wednesday, and then they will kick it all off on Sunday against Virginia, 2 o'clock. Happy to welcome in from 440 Sports, Braden Gall. Braden, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Oh man, I am so ready for this event, dude. I'm so ready. I want to see Vanderbilt and Tennessee in the national championship series. I want it so badly, deep in my soul, buddy.
So, okay, before we get going with the College World Series, this past weekend, Tennessee LSU, they come out, Tennessee does Friday night, they throw Chad Dallas, LSU's throwing Hilliard. Did you think, in your opinion, that Paul Maneri took out Hilliard an inning too early? Did that set them up?
I have to almost go back and remember all the things that have happened since then. It's certainly possible. That's just one of those things in baseball, right? Where if you leave the guy in and one thing happens, everyone thinks you're a genius. If another thing happens, you're everyone thinks you should be fired and vice versa. Right. So I don't know. I think the way that game was playing, obviously very differently than the Saturday game or than the Sunday game. I think you can make that case, but I also don't think you can fault the guy who's a Hall of Famer. Nobody knows their guys better than he does. He's a national champion for a reason. One of the winningest coaches of all time. I have a hard time finding fault in strategic decisions in almost any sport, football, basketball, whatever. Because the coaches just have so much more insight, right? They see something we don't see. They may know something we don't know. There may be a strategy in place that we don't know about that they were prepared for all along. Maybe they didn't want to see a certain hitter. You know what I mean?
I agree with you because then Tennessee takes care of business Saturday night. It bleeds into Sunday where they just explode. And Tennessee's done that this year. It's like, okay, they'll have a second inning where they get one run, but then they'll have a fifth inning where they get 5 to 6 runs and they open it up. And they give the pitchers their room. How do you sum up what Tennessee did in the Super Regionals against LSU, especially from a hitting standpoint, where, again, Braden, this team really doesn't have a lot of holes in their lineup?
So I think it's obvious because LSU hit 4 of their own that Sunday was just one of those days at Lindsey Nelson, right? It is going to be a rude awakening for fans that don't anticipate the change in ballpark. I think everybody is.
Right.
I think most people are anticipating that, that this ballpark is very, very different and plays very, very different. I've been there 3 times. I've been to the old Rosenblatt. I've been to the new Ameritrade, and it is expansive. The outfield is huge. The wind is almost exclusively blowing in. And the air is as thick and as humid as you'd expect it to be in the middle of, Nebraska in June. So I think that's just one of those days where Lindsey Nelson was going to play that way. The ball was flying off the bat. And, again, LSU hit 4 home runs on Sunday as well. And if not for this massive explosion of offense and maybe a bad day for Marceau, I think you're probably talking about a much closer game. Again, that's not a knock. I'm not trying to knock Tennessee's performance at all. I just want to sort of prepare people that you're not going to hit 6 home runs a game in Omaha, and you're going to have to win with pitching. And so I think the bigger story coming out of the weekend, and I know it's not necessarily answering your question directly, but I think the performance of Chad Dallas, and I actually think, kind of throw out the 6 earned runs for Blade Tidwell. I think you kind of have to look at that performance and say, outside of Dylan Cruz, he basically shut everybody down until the 6th inning.
I agree. Yeah.
And so I think you kind of have to compartmentalize the performance a little bit. And at that point, they already had the huge lead. And so you're maybe pitching a little differently and you don't mind if you give up a home run here or there. I think those two guys, and then of course, Hundley coming in at the end, those two guys, that's how you're going to win in Omaha. The power gets all the headlines, but if you're going to win in Omaha, you're going to have really big performances from those two guys and then Hundley and Heflin as well. And that is how you're going to win, because when you get to Omaha, the ones that were hitting the power alleys, the ones that were out in deep left center, those are not home runs in TD Ameritrade. They're just not. So I thought it was a good example of what to not expect. Like, enjoy it, celebrate. Let's have a great time, but let's acknowledge that those most of those home runs, probably six of those 10 home runs on Sunday, are at least, if not seven, are not home runs at TD Ameritrade. And that's just an important thing to keep in mind.
Well, I know I tend to agree with you because I think TD Ameritrade, from what I've been told, plays more like Hoover in a sense, where it is a little tougher to get the long ball out. And I think Tennessee can maybe try to capitalize that with just getting runners on bases, and they've done a good job all season, you know, of driving in guys. So I think that's something to keep an eye out on. Before I get to Omar, real quick, go ahead.
Quickly, the average since they lowered the seams, which was before the 2015 season,
right?
The average home runs hit in the entire event in Omaha is 17, which is about a 15 game event, give or take a game or two. And so you're talking about a home run a game for both teams. Like, that's the average in Omaha. So there were three home runs per season in Omaha before they lowered the seams of the baseball. So again, just to give you a sense, like I'm telling you, I have stood with 15,000 people, watched some 6'5 monster for TCU hit absolute bombs into the air, and the entire crowd stands up and goes crazy. And then the outfielder settles underneath it like a can of corn, and we go, oh my God, what just happened? I'm telling you, it is a weird thing that happens in Omaha.
So, okay, in your opinion, though, is that Tennessee something that Tennessee can take advantage of with the way that they hit into the gap and then also the way that the TD Ameritrade plays? Because Tennessee, I think Tennessee does a really good job of the right field singles, the left field doubles, the getting in the gaps, just getting on base. Is that something Tennessee can try to take advantage of in Omaha?
It's very possible. I think it's much more interesting for their pitching staff, right? Like, best ERA in the SEC, and you pitched at Lindsey Nelson. That should translate, especially the way they've sort of the way the rotation has sort of settled in, right, over the last couple of weeks of the season. So I think it's much bigger news for the rotation, because I think you can now actually look at, you know, Tidwell's stuff has probably been the best of anybody. Dallas is coming off 12 strikeout performance. Heflin's been solid lately. You get those four guys, you should be able to do a lot of damage with those four arms. The question is the depth, the rest of the depth. I know there's some other guys out there that are pitching well.
I mean, can they go Sean Hundley? Can they go Campbell, right? Redmond, Walsh? You know,
right. So there are other guys, but yeah. And again, beating Virginia on Sunday solves a lot of these problems, right? You can keep your rotation in order. Because in theory, Vanderbilt, who I think is the favorite to win the whole thing, in theory, they won't do this, but in theory, Vanderbilt could just throw Rocker and Leiter the entire way. And that's insanity to think
well,
about.
Well, yeah, no, because if they win Saturday night, they throw Leiter on Monday, yep. and then you have, what, 4 days off?
Well, you get a couple days off, and it generally is about 6 days since your first game. So you'd be 6 days rest. So if you threw Chad Dallas on Sunday, and then you came back and threw Blade Tidwell in game two, and you won both of them, you then could, in theory, go back to Dallas in game three. And all you need then is one win to get to the championship series. So
which will be Friday. Yeah.
Which will be Friday. So you'd have like a full, almost a full week's rest. When you're in Omaha, it's enough stinking rest. How about that?
And the good thing for Tennessee is Heflin has not thrown since the SEC tournament. Which, like, I know they got him some work.
Right, you know, right.
In practice.
I know. Again, I don't think Vandy or Tennessee should do that or will do that. I think when you have that extra game to play with and you've got a third starter, I think you throw them out there to give your ace a rest, and then you can bring him back if you lose to try to win the second game if you have to do that. But if you can, you know, get through and go 3-0, your entire rotation is set up for the big series in the championship. So it's really all about how you set up your arms. I think what you have to do on offense, and, you know, I don't know enough about the hitters and their tendencies and how they spray their spray charts. Like, I don't have enough knowledge to give you good insight as to that. But if you do play the gaps and you play sort of old school, fundamentally sound baseball, which again, doesn't work in the SEC, but it's why we've seen teams like UCLA and Arizona go to TD Ameritrade and win national championships and beat SEC teams, frankly, to do it. And it's why teams that, you know, don't hit a lot of home runs, win national titles in Omaha, because it's about all the extra stuff. It's about moving the runners over. It's about, you know, staying out of the double play. It's, you know, playing great defense. It's all the little things. And, you know, I think Tennessee's capable of doing that stuff. I think when you have a game like Sunday and you see like the fourth home run go out, everybody starts hacking at the fence, right? Like, I just think that's sort of a unique situation. As long as they don't fall into that. Right. As long as they don't fall into that mentality, I think they're going to be totally fine.
When you look back, and before I get to the matchup on Sunday, when you look back at Tennessee's baseball season, and I wrote about this yesterday, Tennessee went, you know, coming off the SEC tournament to that heartbreaker to Arkansas, where you know they wanted to win that darn thing. And then they turn around and they get, in Tony Vitello's words, the group of death in the NCAA regional. And then they make it to the super regional. How do you sum up what this Tennessee squad's been able to do? I mean, it almost feels not unwarranted in the gestures that they're getting in the rankings. But it's also crazy to think as well that, hey, Tennessee's headed back to the College World Series for the first time in a very long time.
It does feel surreal to just sort of be here right now, right? Like, to be having this conversation about here's how Tennessee's rotation sets up in Omaha. What? How did we get here? I think a lot of that's because the season got canceled last year.
Right.
If last year's season didn't get canceled and had been a whole regular thing, right? Like, the whole thing was regular and COVID doesn't exist. God, would that be great? I think we're talking about a team that probably made a deep tournament run, that probably gained a ton of tournament experience, that got onto the national stage, you know, maybe even got into a top 16, maybe hosted a regional last year. You know what I mean? Like, I think we would have seen, we would have seen the stepping stone progress in year three under Vitello that we just didn't get to see. But I think you could argue last year's team might have been even better than this year's team. So, and again, we don't know that. Do they have the same, you know, juice and sort of mystery sauce, special sauce that this group has? I mean, it's hard to replicate what this team is doing right now from like a team of destiny thing. I know that's a stupid phrase.
Yeah,
like, I know it's a stupid phrase, but like, I've seen it in so many other sports. I've seen it in the NHL, where an 8 seed, the Predators, They just believed in themselves so much that every time they stepped out on the ice, they were going to win the game. And that is what this Tennessee team's got going for it right now. Because when you line them up against Arizona or Texas or, I mean, even Mississippi State or Vanderbilt, you know, are they as good? Yeah, sure. But like, you could argue that the other teams are better. Vanderbilt, I think, is the best. I just think Vanderbilt has every piece of the puzzle. And I think they're, you know, there's a reason they're the favorite. But I like Tennessee to come out of their bracket almost because of the other the unquantifiable stuff for Tennessee. And that's Vitello, and that's the culture he's built, and that's the belief system he's got. You know, all the things. I just, you can't disregard that factor. Does it overcome the experience that a team like Vanderbilt brings to the table? That's my big question, is if they both get there, not only are you dealing with the talent that Rocker and Leiter bring to the table and everybody in the lineup, but you're also having to deal with the fact that Tim Corbin has done this so many times. Like, he knows exactly how to pull the levers. And the number one biggest issue I've seen it. It's my favorite part of Omaha, is when a kid steps into the box for the first time. And the SEC's big, man. The SEC stage is big in baseball. The crowds are big. The stadiums are big. And Tennessee's experienced
last night.
Tennessee. Yeah, exactly. Tennessee's experienced all of it. Like, those players know what it's like to play in a big atmosphere in front of big crowds. It's just a little different in Omaha. It's just a little different. And you step into that box for the first time, the eyes are a little bigger, the knees are a little shakier, and it's whoever figures out that it's just another baseball game first, just like every other sport, that's who's going to win. And Tim Corbin's an expert at that right now.
You think it's good, though, for Tennessee? And I'm going to use this term because I used it the other day, and I don't know however else to put it. But this Tennessee team feels like, you know what? We don't give a shit. We're going to go to battle with our head coach. You know, we're going to follow the leader. And if that means we have to be a so-called villain, if that means we do things a little different, then that's what we have to do to continue this euphoria of what they have with this baseball team. Because you can't switch it up now. Yeah. You've come this far.
You
have to contain what you're.
You can't shave all the beards and go corporate New York Yankees now that you've gotten to Omaha. You can't do that. No, you've got to be all Johnny Damon, right? And just be like totally naked doing chin-ups in the clubhouse. Like you can't change the craziness at this stage. It's working for you. You got to ride it. Here's the other thing. If it makes you the villain, like you said, who cares? Like you can't care. Omaha's an interesting place. They tend to gravitate as a fan base, like the locals, they tend to gravitate towards sort of the underdog and the news story and the small story. I've been out there for teams like, you know, UC Santa Barbara and UC Irvine and sort of these smaller programs that I was out there for the Coastal Carolina championship run.
Yeah.
And those are the teams that Omaha tends to really pull for and get behind. And I look at this field and I don't see Kent State. I don't see Indiana. I don't see Stony Brook. I don't see UC Santa Barbara. These are all pretty big programs, especially in Tennessee's side of the bracket, right? Virginia's a national championship team with a coach who's from Omaha, Nebraska. Like he's from there.
Do you have a statue outside somewhere?
Yes. Yes, he does. Because he's literally from Omaha, Nebraska. I've had beers. I've sat in the hotel next to TD Ameritrade and had beers with Brian O'Connor before in Omaha. Like it's just, he's Mr. Omaha. And so there's not like that story. So I could see in theory sort of this rough and tumble ragtag group of guys that becomes sort of the playful, lovable, you know, team that Omaha roots for. Now, if you're doing a bunch of stuff that I enjoy, bat flips and staring at the dugout and stuff like that, which I enjoy personally as a fan, maybe there's a little bit of Omaha that says, okay, that's not how we play the game. So it'll be interesting to see how the fans, long way of saying this, it'll be fascinating to see how the fans react to Tennessee as a culture. And if you're Tennessee, it doesn't matter. You have to be you and you have to play your game. And I think right now it's working for you.
Tony Vitello, Braden, just the job he's done, recruiting that he's doing right now, fundraising, marketing. Bro, they put together a darn street party and talking to people. They put together like 12 hours. And that's hard to do with logistics. But Tony wanted it. He thought it would be great for the fans. It didn't get tickets. And we're talking about him personally. Just how much has he meant to that university in a sense of, look, I'm able to market. This is a guy that's going to go on any radio show that you ask him. He's going to find time. He's going to market his program in any possible form. I don't care what it is, from a blog to a national syndicated radio show, and he's going to get out in the streets. How far does that go with the University of Tennessee with upper brass? Do they see this type of stuff?
I would hope so.
Right.
I think more importantly, the fact that this team is in Omaha is sort of a return on investment, right? I mean, that's at the top of the list. But when you come from a place that was so downtrodden for so many years, you know, you've got to do the little things to rebuild the brand. And, you know, recruiting at his level, which is why he was hired, is clearly there. The guy just eats, sleeps, breathes, you know, baseball, which is obviously a big part of this. He relates to the kids really well. It is, you know, the whole like maniacal go, 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 go all the time. Like that's real, right? Like that's not a fake thing. He's not putting on a show. So I think as long as it's authentic, you can kind of be, again, if he was the coach at Kentucky or Georgia or Ole Miss, I think Tennessee fans would hate him. Let's be honest.
I agree.
I think people would hate him, but he's not, he's our guy. And if he wants to be the heel in the SEC and keeps winning and keeps recruiting the way he's doing, absolutely. Like I think the brass pays attention and you know, I don't think you have to say anything else other than look at where they are right now. They're on a plane to Omaha and that's it. Like that's what matters. Now, financially,
does Tennessee sack up and do these renovations that need, they're going to have to do them in like three phases. They're not getting everything done at once.
So this is a more complicated business decision because I don't have it in front of me, but the number of baseball programs that generate large quantities of revenue in America is not very many. Now, are some of them in the SEC? Most of them are in the SEC. Yes. The programs that make the most money are in the SEC. Are they pulling in large quantities of cash the way football and basketball do? And the answer is just no, they don't. So even if you're talking about a, I don't know, $7-10 million in revenue, is that worth justifying, you know, $40-60 million in spending? Maybe it's not, but I don't think you can look at it the way business people look at, you know, line items. I just don't think you can do that. I think you have to look at it as an investment in your program. It's an investment in your alumni. It's an investment in your community. It's an investment in, like, think about, like, what would Tennessee fans have been doing the last month if this program was where it was 4 years ago?
I'm talking about who the darn starting quarterback's going to be against Bowling Green.
Like, isn't this fun?
Yeah, like, it's great. I love it. I don't have to worry about football content. Right. Like,
this is what I would, if I was sitting down with, you know, Danny White and all the decision makers, I would say, guys, don't you think this happiness, this pure joy and this goodwill goes a long way with your fans? Like, it may not translate to the actual bean counter, right? Like, you may not get dollar for dollar back in investment. Don't you think there's something more here that you're purchasing? It's more important than that. And I think Tennessee's got the money. That's not the concern here, right? So to me, it's a no-brainer. You've got to invest, but it's not my money. So
well, it's easy. It's also too, bro. It's, you know, Braden, you know, we're talking about baseball, and hopefully Tennessee is talking about baseball to the end of June. And that would be June 30th with the championship game. But it's like, also, you know what? A week and a half, 2 weeks later, we're flipping the script and we're going to football because we're going to be at media day. So there's not this middle ground of nothing going on between May and June. And I just think that's benefited Tennessee because of two things. I think it's great press for the baseball program and what they've done and Tony Vitello and whatnot. I think that's awesome. But also, too, football right now is a dead topic in Knoxville because everybody is in a wait and see approach. I think that it's benefited them. And I know it doesn't come out to cash flow, but it's benefited them in other ways. Yeah. And I think that's something that can't be overlooked.
I totally agree. Like, making your alumni happy and making your student body population happy and making your community happy, creating an event like what they did on Sunday and Saturday night, like you pointed out with the block party, and like, especially after the last 18 months we've all been through, like, create something happy for people. Like, it's good business. It's good business in athletics, because you know what happens? And again, it's like you said, it doesn't translate into specific dollars, but necessarily, but we talk about all this all the time with football coaches. When your football program and more importantly, your athletic department is the front porch of your university. And the more good vibes that are coming out of your athletic department and the better the campus feels about stuff like this, you know, Lady Vols, you name it, whatever it is, the more attractive your university is for regular students to come to.
Agreed.
So it's, and then from there, you know, after that, it's, oh, you can be more selective with students. Oh, then you can hire better faculty. And like, it all works together. And I think good, smart ADs and decision makers know that. I like to believe that Danny White is one of them. I think he knows it's all connected. And, it, you know, I know the press release, I don't have the exact words in front of me, but the press release of like, oh, it, you know, in time, it looks like we're going to pay him. Like, they were using kind of coded language, right? That needs to change and just say, look, we're going to invest in baseball. And here's a contract. Here's some renovations. Here's how it looks. Let's lay it out for fans and let's get it done. And guess how fun every year from you know, April to June could be for the next 10 years. Just think about it.
Right. And they're already pretty far along in contract negotiations between his agency and Danny White. And they've already got money pledged towards Lindsey Nelson Stadium renovations, I've been told. But it's all about putting it together, and I agree with you. And when you know, you're represented by CAA, they're going to do anything and everything to make you the $1 million man, which you're going to be next year, and that's Tony V. But I don't think he cares about that. I think he cares about his assistants, and I think he cares about how he can recruit to the university when it comes to renovations in the stadium, too.
Yeah, and just look at Corbin, man. Look at what Corbin's done. They've invested in, like, the double super secret pitching lab. They've invested so well in assistants that all of his assistants are now out there coaching their own great programs, right? Like, East Carolina and Oklahoma State. And like, there's really good former Corbin assistants now everywhere. Right. So I think Vanderbilt again, and this speaks to sort of the clash that's happening right now between Vandy and Tennessee, which I think is wonderful for both sides, actually. It's not overly difficult. You have to find the right people, and it seems like they've done it with Tony Vitello. But it's once you find the right person, it's so much cheaper to win in baseball than it is anywhere else. It doesn't take a ton of investment to compete, and Vanderbilt learned that quickly when they hired Corbin, and they invested, and they've been the best baseball program in America for a decade. And it doesn't take much but a little money and the right guy. And right now, Tennessee's got the right guy.
I agree. Okay, let's look out at the field, buddy. What can Tennessee fans expect from this bracket, Tennessee's first bracket, you know, where Texas, Mississippi State, other side, Tennessee, Virginia, you know, what are your chances you give Tennessee of getting out of that side and getting to play for a spot in the championship series?
Yeah, it's interesting. In Tennessee's half, Virginia is so far behind everybody else from a talent perspective. Like, they just aren't the same. They're a three seed that, you know, kind of got a, I don't want to say a lucky draw, but when you know, South Carolina is solid, Old Dominion was okay. Dallas Baptist could hit a bunch of home runs, but that, you know, again, that was, I think Virginia got there because of their path. They had to win four straight elimination games, which does, you know, again, they're very well coached. Again, Brian O'Connor's a very good coach, so don't put anything past them. And baseball's weird, right? Anything can happen in a one game situation, but if you take care of business against Virginia, and I like Tennessee's chances to get out of the bracket and get to the national championship series. Mississippi State's got the arms. Texas is really, really good. I wouldn't mess with them. I'm not really sure which one you want to see. I think you kind of pick which, you know, didn't they see Mississippi State and Hoover? Or was it Arkansas? So I think.
No, they run ruled State and Hoover.
That's what I thought. So I think you can argue both ways, right? You could argue there's knowledge there and that benefits you. You could argue there's knowledge there and that hurts you. You know, you can kind of swing that one around and around. I'm not sure you want to play Texas twice.
No, you don't.
That's not what you want to do. But I do think Tennessee's the pick out of their bracket. I think Vanderbilt's the pick out of their bracket. Arizona's the only other one that would scare me if I'm Tennessee, just because they've got a national championship coach who knows how to really coach in Omaha. But the other team, like Stanford, just hits bombs. I don't think that's a team that's talented enough with the arms to be dangerous. NC State, my God, what a what an accomplishment.
That's weird.
yeah. But to me, honestly, like if you're telling me to put money down, I would pick Vanderbilt and Tennessee to play in the national championship series. Unfortunately, I think that's where talent, this is like the old Alabama versus Notre Dame thing, right? Like Notre Dame's really, really good at football until they play Alabama. And I just think that's the problem with Vanderbilt this year, is not only do they have all of the same stuff that Tennessee has from like a coaching standpoint and a culture standpoint and a vibe standpoint, but they have the best two players in the country. And that's, I don't know how you beat them two out of three times if you got to play Rocker and Leiter twice. I don't know.
Tennessee's just trying to beat Clemson, bro, the first matchup.
Right, that's right. You just need Hunter Renfro to come in and pitch for Tennessee in game three against whoever Vandy throws in game three. That's all you need.
That would be Will Heflin, actually. So there you go. When it comes to a standpoint. Hey, Braden, before I let you go, man, you know, a lot of Tennessee fans are going to make the trek out to Omaha for the first time.
Awesome.
The number of people that have told me, hey, I'm going to Omaha, can't wait, this is going to be fun. And then a lot of people, you know, might, you know, are going to come out on Tuesday or, you know, whenever they get, because it's just so spaced out.
It's a tough call. Do you go the first weekend or you go to the championship series? I'll say this.
I had to make that call. Like as a media member, I did, because the access is so bad this year.
The first weekend is my favorite weekend. I as a fan, I would go the first weekend because you can watch all the other games. It's eight different fan bases coming together to celebrate baseball. It's perfect Americana. It's red meat, the best red meat in the country. It's cold beer. It's everything that you love about baseball. And I think the first weekend is the way to go. Like I'm good watching the championship series at home. I would want to go the first weekend. That's my vote.
What can fans expect when it just comes to, you know, getting out there, the areas around the ballpark, stuff along those lines. I mean, it's just, here's a good way to put it. Is it like going to Atlanta now to the Mercedes-Benz Dome? Is it going to like a football type atmosphere, or is it like going to Final Four type atmosphere? How do you explain
it? Neither. It's like, it's like going to, like, imagine like taking your own campus,
like Lollapalooza, but with your own campus.
Imagine taking like Knoxville on Saturdays in the fall, and dropping it in middle America in June at a baseball tournament. It is so small town. It's so charming. It reminds you of being on your own campus, walking around. It's just gear everywhere. There are like a bunch of little bars, like right next to TD Ameritrade Park, that are solid to hang out at. Don't eat there. They're solid places, but they're not, there's too many good restaurants to eat there. I would definitely stay if you can. It's hard because the teams take up all the hotel blocks, but if you can stay walking distance, because there's a couple hotels in between the ballpark and downtown, and then you could walk one direction at night to go grab dinner or whatever after the games, and you can walk the other direction down to the ballpark and then get back and forth pretty quickly. So I would stay, if you can stay walking distance. I've been fortunate enough to do that a couple of times, and there's so many good restaurants and a couple of really main downtown thoroughfares that are just up a couple of blocks from the stadium. And then you get down to the stadium and there's like the whole Olympics swimming pool deal there at the arena, and the ballpark's right there. They'll have fanfare set up all outside. You know, if LSU was there, which they're obviously not, they would be like literally all of the first rows of cars would be LSU people tailgating like crazy. I imagine there'll be a ton of Mississippi State people there. They always throw great baseball parties. So it's, you know, there's a great little sandwich shop called Block 16. I would go eat there. The Drover is the most famous restaurant in Omaha. It's a little farther out of town in the kind of the middle of nowhere, but
I actually heard of that. Okay.
You probably need to go again. It's, you can get a great steak anywhere in Omaha, but the Drover is sort of the famous one. I would go once and say you did it, but then I would look elsewhere. If you want to break from sort of red meat, which I don't know why you would, but if you want to break from red meat, there's a really good seafood restaurant. I know that sounds strange to say in Omaha, but if you're going to be there a while, you're going to need a break. You're going to need to give the arteries a little bit of a break off the beer and the red fillets, called Plank. Go check that out. Very good. Man, Block 16 is my favorite place. It's, I eat there probably every other day and it's awesome. It's kind of like it's like Gus's on steroids in Omaha. How about that?
Okay.
That makes it's sense. Not like a nice restaurant, but it's like really high end food, but it's cheap, if that makes sense.
So I'm going to be there for, look, I booked my hotel for 14 days. So, I mean,
oh my God.
Well, pretty much. I mean, I booked it through the 30th. So technically that's 11 days, but whatever. I mean, we're going to see, man. It's going to be absolutely nuts. And you know what? I might have to turn around and fly back home Wednesday, but I'm hoping that I get an extended period of time out there and we'll see what Tennessee does. Hopefully we can have you on next week. If Tennessee gets out of the first bracket, we can discuss the rest of the week. But Braden, tell everybody where they can follow you, your fantastic company, and all your great podcasts and work.
Yeah, 440sports.com is the website. That's 440sports.com. You can type that also, 440, into your podcast app, whatever you use, and you should be able to find all the good pods there. We've got the daily show that comes out every single morning, the 440. Lots of Titans, Preds, Nashville SC, Tennessee Volunteers, Vanderbilt SEC stuff on that show every single morning. Got Fringe Element SEC podcast out every Thursday. Andy Staples is our guest this week on the show. Lamestream Sports is about media. That'll be out every Friday. We've got Gold Standard podcast about the Preds every Wednesday. So basically, if you care about sports in the state of Tennessee, we've got a show for you on the network. So check it out. 440sports.com is the website. You can see it. You can get to it on my handle on Twitter, at Braden Gall. So, yeah, check out all that good stuff.
That's fantastic, buddy. Thanks so much for joining. The next RTI podcast will be from Omaha, Nebraska. So, Tennessee fans, if you're out there, let me know. We'll see you out there, Rocky Top Insider. Braden, thanks so much for joining, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Yep, I'm jealous you're going, bud. Have a good time. Enjoy it.
Thanks, buddy.